Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today we are talking about subscription creep. That's the money you're paying out that you just may not be aware of. Joining me today is Nick Wolny. He is the managing editor of CNET. So welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I think most people understand, hey, if I spend $9.99 a month on Netflix and $15 for my sports channels, that's going to add up over time. But there are these little apps out there that may be add-ons to other programs, $1.99 a month, even 99 cents a month. But if you have five or six of those, you're going to be spending well over $100 a year, depending on how many you have.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we talk about subscription creep, it kind of refers to two different aspects of subscriptions and of recurring payments. One is that we see consumers just adding more subscriptions to their monthly budget. They used to only have one or two streaming subscriptions, perhaps, you know, back when streaming was a little bit younger. Netflix was kind of the only horse in the race for a while there, kind of trying to convince us that streaming was even a thing back in the 2010s, in the late 2000s. So we see that people have more subscriptions. And then we also see that these different companies are more focused on revenue. They're more focused on profit. And so we're seeing more incremental increases. You usually get an email about this when you have a sudden price hike in your subscription. It's often not more than a dollar or two per month. But when you have that multiplied by multiple subscriptions, multiplied by, you know, some of them are doing this every year now after many years of keeping their prices exactly the same, then that does start to add up. What we found at CNET from a recent survey is that the average consumer spends about $91 a month on subscriptions. So when you add that up, that's over $1,000 a year. And spring is a really great time to just do that once a year audit. Take a look at what you're paying for. You know, are you really using all those different channels? Are you really using all those different delivery services? I know for myself, I usually pick up one or two additional subscriptions during winter because it's cold out, it's dark out, you know, more of my leisure time is being spent inside. And now that the weather's warming back up, you might be getting outside a little bit more. It might be a good time to just take a look at that, maybe offboard a couple of those so you can save some bucks.
Yeah, definitely, especially with inflation, which technically we're not really in inflation anymore because it's been holding steady. The problem is it's holding steady from when the prices went way up a couple of years ago, and now they never came back down.
Right. But also the challenge with inflation as well is that, you know, you have some industries where the cost of goods genuinely went up, right? For many food providers, for example, you know, like the cost of different foods genuinely went up. But then you had many other corporations, sectors that just sort of cried inflation, you know, and they just raised their prices, you know. And how we know that is we're seeing record profits from some of these different corporations, from some of these different sectors. They've never been more profitable. And one of the reasons for that is they sort of snowed the consumer a little bit, right? They were like, inflation, prices are going up. And when really they didn't have to offset increased expenses, you know, but the consumer has just kind of gotten used to that. I guess we're a little complicit in media talking about inflation so much. We've convinced everyone that it's just everywhere.
Right.
But yeah, so we see some of that as well. It's definitely become more normalized to increase the price of something. And people are like, oh, huh, yeah, I guess it's inflation, you know? And so it's kind of harder to gauge whether or not it's actually because there's more features or because they're, you know, it's costing the company more. So something for consumers to be aware of as well is that, yeah, definitely prices are higher than they were a few years ago across the board.
And I want to talk about things like Google Picks, or there's an app called Sound Profile where you can tell your social media accounts, well, don't ping me during these hours because I'll be sleeping or I'm in a meeting. But those cost money. And they're very relatively inexpensive compared to, you know, a streaming channel. But again, if you have five or six of those, that's actually a lot of money coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, I also think that we saw a lot of pandemic related activity that has become habitual for many consumers. So in our survey, when we asked people what types of subscriptions they have, the streaming subscriptions were the most popular. And then the second most popular category was retail subscriptions, e-commerce. So things like Amazon Prime, which was also out in front for a while. And now you have many other retailers. You know, you've got Walmart Plus, Target, recently launched a paid subscription model, Target Circle 360. And so you've got these different e-commerce subscriptions as well as in-person subscriptions, you know, Costco being famously a subscription model. And so for many consumers, they're just kind of overwhelmed at the number of recurring expenses that they have. You know, it's really not a stretch to say a consumer might have 15, 20, 30 recurring expenses every month in their budget, just as they have more apps, they have more bundles, they, you know, different things like this. And really, it just kind of almost impacts every area of spending. If you think about almost every category of your budget, there's some company vying for your subscription dollars, you know, in order to solve some sort of problem for you. And so, whatever that might be. And so, it's good for consumers to keep in mind because the tricky thing about subscriptions is that, as we know, it's painful to pay for something. And so for so many of these services, you know, you only sign up once, you know, you only go through the pain of payment once, and then your card's on file and it just runs on autopilot in the background. And so, you know, while on the one hand, that's nice in terms of out of sight, out of mind. On the other hand, you know, I know for me personally, it's happened a couple of times. You forget you're even paying for it. And then you go look at your bank statement and you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't used that in 6 months and I kept paying for it. Oh,
The gym membership, where you go and you sign up, and just every month, how often did you really go to the gym? In my case, it was not. So I was paying like $20 a month for 2 years, and I think I set foot in the gym twice.
And I think also it's this phenomenon that we're watching closely of just how much easier it is to buy things using like your smartphone, for example. You know, we're on video right now and we cheersed right before we started. You know, this Starbucks, I picked it up on my way into the office, and you know how I bought it? I opened my phone and I scanned my face and I bought it. I didn't have to swipe a credit card. I didn't even have to press a button, you know. And so I think as we have reduced the friction of buying something, one byproduct of that, you know, on the one hand, that's nice. It's less friction for the consumer, but on the other hand, less friction means just, you know, it's just easier to spend money as a result. And so obviously, you know, companies and businesses love that component. But for us on the personal finance side, we just want to help people be really aware the barriers are much lower. Like if you want to spend 10 bucks, you know, it's awfully easy to do, you know, on your phone in a matter of seconds. So just being aware of that.
I'm a big advocate of cash only. Now, in today's day and age, I get it. That's not extremely realistic. But you can pick and choose some things that you will only pay cash for, which can help you and help your budget. Like at the gas station, I will not put a credit card or scan my phone in there because of the skimmers. You know, people who put in fake credit card scanners and they're taking your money, then they're stealing your bank account information because of that. So I always pay in cash when I get gas in my car.
And just that physical feeling, you know, that analog feeling of like, okay, like here's the $40. Oh man, that's two 20s. You know, it's
Yeah,
you
it
know, kind of
hurts.
painful and
It
only get a couple bucks back.
hurts when you have to hand over dollar bills and you only get coins back, maybe, or smaller bills in return, as opposed to, like you said, if you just swipe your phone, you never see it. You're like, oh, that doesn't hurt at all.
I mean, we like e-commerce and we like digital payments from like a security perspective as well, especially with the advent of things like virtual cards and stuff like that. You know, that's certainly helping with things like credit card theft. But I think for the lay consumer, and we saw this as well in the survey data. One of the biggest takeaways from our survey at CNET was nearly half of respondents said that they had signed up for a free trial for a subscription and then forgotten to cancel that free trial. So then they just started paying for it. You know, and I think that's just another example of just all the speed of digital sign up and, you know, agreeing to the terms and conditions before you start the free trial. For many free trials now, you put the credit card on file and they're like, you won't be charged today, but you do put your credit card on file today. It's just, I don't know, it just in reducing all that friction, one of the end results of that is that it is costing consumers more money and that consumers are sometimes signing up for things that and end up paying for things that they don't even want that badly.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over some things of how you actually go about going through all of your subscriptions and things you can do to protect yourself about those free trials. So we'll be right back with Nick Wolny. He is the managing editor of CNET. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show. If it affects your life in any way money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we are talking about subscription creep. It's those things that you've subscribed to and either the prices continually rise incrementally or you just keep buying more of them. So joining me today is Nick Wolny. He is the managing editor of CNET. All right, Nick, you were talking about the free trials, those things that, oh, yeah, I'll just cancel that, or I just want the free gift I get for signing up, and then I'll cancel a subscription. And 2 weeks go by, and you totally forget, because life happens. So what are some things people can do to prevent themselves from getting onto the, after the free trial, now we're going to charge you $19.99 a month?
Yeah, often with these free trials, they might actually be longer than a few days. You know, it's not unusual to see a 30-day trial. In some cases, we even see like a 60-day or a 90-day trial. And so taking that extra time just to set up that little notification in your calendar or, you know, a little reminder for yourself. Again, how many of these are set up is that when you sign up for that free trial, it's not uncommon to put your credit card information in, put all of your information in, like you are completing a transaction. Essentially, that's what you're doing, but it's just delaying the start of the subscription so that you'll have the service for free for a certain amount of time. You agree to the terms and conditions then. And then since you've already agreed to the terms and conditions, you know, it's a nice gesture if the company reminds you that your first payment is coming up, but they're actually not required to do that. And so many of them won't do that. And so that is how we end up just losing track of time and you start getting charged and, you know, you just forget in the moment that you decided that that service wasn't particularly for you. And so I think it's good old fashioned reminders and notifications are really the best approach that you can take on that. I think also we see a lot of free trial opportunities come up when someone's making a purchase of some other kind, like you're purchasing a new TV or you bought a new phone or something like that. And often we'll see as the dangling carrot, you know, 3 free months of Peacock or, you know, 6 months of Apple TV for free, things like that. Just setting that reminder for yourself so that you don't accidentally agree to it, forget that you even had that perk in the first place, and then start paying for it. So I think that's one of the biggest things that comes up, particularly with free trials. We also saw in the data, we split it out by generation. And so boomers got bragging rights here. Only 28% of them forgot to cancel a free trial or said that they had forgotten to cancel a free trial. 65% for millennials and 59% for Gen Z. So any boomer can, you know, rub it in everyone's face, you know, very on top of those free trials. And I think it also just shows kind of for those younger generations, especially, you know, maybe they've got small kids or they're just juggling a lot of different expenses, a lot of different to-dos, you know, little things like this, they fall through the cracks. But as we mentioned before in our survey results, with that $91 a month average across all subscriptions, it's over $1,000 a year. It's a lot of money for a lot of people.
I have done the calendar reminder and it works for me for the most part, but every once in a while it pops up. But of course, I see it at an inopportune time. I'm busy. I'm doing other things. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get to that later today. Well, later today just doesn't happen. And then later this week doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden I get charged. So one thing I have found, and I am not sponsored by this company at all. I just happen to like them. And there are other companies like it. It's called privacy.com. Basically what it is it sets up virtual credit cards for you. And it pull money from your bank account, but we're going to issue a virtual credit card. And so for Netflix or for Hulu, you get separate virtual cards and you put in that virtual credit card number when you sign up for these, you know, accounts. But you can tell the card you only want $10 a month period to come out of it. So if they try to charge you more than $10 a month, or you set it for a dollar, so at the end of the free trial, if they try to charge more than that $1, it doesn't go through.
Yeah.
And then
that's amazing. I had not even heard of that service.
Then you get a notification like, hey, somebody tried to charge you, and you go, oh, that's right. I don't want this free trial anymore. And that definitely reminds you.
Right. Right. I mean, that's a fantastic service. I think also what we see at CNET and what we recommend is to take a close look again at budgeting apps. You know, budgeting apps have come a long way in recent years, and particularly because subscription creep is becoming an increasing problem, more of them are offering a subscription monitoring related solution. So the one that we recommend is Rocket Money. It's free to start using, and then it also has a premium tier that starts at $6 a month. And it has a bill monitoring service. Many of the others also have a bill monitoring service. I like the subscription monitoring service on Rocket Money because it will monitor if something has suddenly gone up in price. So you'll get a notification on that. And then also on the premium tier, it will actually cancel or negotiate some of your bills for you if you want. And so I actually had Rocket Money negotiate my Verizon bill. I love talking to you, Heather. I don't want to talk to Verizon. And right. So I made them talk to Verizon and they got an extra $10 a month off my bill. So not a lot, but that's 120 bucks a year. And then they take a little commission on whatever savings they get. So, you know, it kind of pays for itself. And then you just don't have to deal with the, like, I don't want to call Verizon and negotiate my, you know what I mean? I don't want to do that. Great example of subscription creep, particularly with internet, is you got a deal for the first 12 months. For the first 6 months, right? You get a great rate and it's in the marketing, it's big numbers, you know, $40 a month, $30 a month. And you don't think about it anymore. You know, you kind of just get settled in at home. And then after 12 months, it goes up to the normal rate, which is $125 a month, you know, or something like that. And, you know, most people aren't going to read all of the fine print, particularly with something like setting up a utility. You probably just moved, you know, you just want to get things done as quickly as possible so you can settle back in. And so, you know, we sign up for something based on those numbers that are shown to us. That's true for a lot of utilities. They might have something like an introductory rate for a certain number of months. And unless you're making a note of that, or monitoring it using something like a budgeting app. This is another great reason to have a budgeting app, that you're not going to notice when that sudden price increase happens. And so just with a little heads up, most people, you know, particularly for something like 40 bucks a month, that's a lot of money. So, you know, with that much heads up, you're gonna be like, okay, I'm going to take some action if I know that my next bill is going to be $40 a month
higher. And I may have gotten notification, but there was a death in the family. And so for a month, I was kind of out of commission and not paying attention to a lot of my emails. And then all of a sudden the bill came and I'm like, whoa, what happened? Why did it jump so much?
Right. In our survey results, I believe it was about 20% of people said that they had not received a notification that their price was increasing, which was an interesting stat because it's probably not true.
Right.
You know, like the companies are required to communicate changes in price. You know, that's just like basics from an FTC perspective. But like you said, you know, when it's one email is all they need to send in order to check that box from a compliance perspective. And for many of us, we receive dozens of emails a day. Some of us receive hundreds of emails a day, you know, just with work and with everything like that. And so it's really easy to miss. And you might get it along with all your other morning emails, and you're just juggling half a dozen other things. You're not going to take care of it right now. And then you forget about it. So I think that's, you know, it's a great point as well. And it's interesting just, you know, the perception, that, you know, just one email is not enough. Again, another reason, I know I'm jumping up and down about the budgeting apps, but it's just, I don't know, that extra push notification. I need that extra notification.
Exactly.
Like I need to be told things more than once.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I want people to understand there are ways to help you either cut off at the pass that something is going to go up, some subscription is going to go up, or as you said, if some of these apps will help you negotiate to bring them back down or tell you, hey, by the way, you're still paying for this every month. Are you really using it?
Right.
Anything to help you in your every month budgeting, like, remember, oh yeah, okay, I'm not using this. Let's get rid of it.
Right. Something else we saw in our survey results at CNET was when we asked people about strategies for how they manage these subscription costs. You know, bundling was a very common answer. Just looking around for better deals, opportunities to maybe switch to something else and get a better introductory rate. That was actually the most popular strategy. But then there was a strategy that was, you know, it was the second most popular, which was, we're calling it the rotation technique. And it's just where you kind of toggle on and toggle off different services as you're using them versus when you're not using them. And that was actually, we were surprised that was, you know, a fairly common answer, particularly for streaming. I think what's happened over the years is that people have now signed up for several different streaming services. You know, they want to watch this show on Amazon Prime. They want to watch that show on Hulu. They want to watch these reruns on Peacock, you know, quite a lot more reruns on streaming services as well. And so, you know, what's nice about these streaming services is for the most part, it is comparatively easy to cancel and restart. That's not true for other subscriptions, you know what I mean? Somebody you gotta call someone in order to get your subscription canceled. But for these, you know, you log on, you might have to poke around a little bit to find the cancel button. It's usually at the bottom. But you know, you can cancel in the moment and just you're on a month to month on all of those. And so what several respondents said is they were like, yeah, I watch the shows I want to watch, or when a new season of a show I like comes out, I toggle that service back on. We watch that show. And then when that show's over, we just toggle it back off and we limit ourselves to one or two active subscriptions at a time. You know, we have a login on all of them, but we only keep one or two of them active at a time. And it's almost like a little bit of a forcing mechanism. I think, you know, kind of we talk about in the editor's room, it's the irony that we're sort of going in a circle back towards cable, you know, that people now have like six, you know, they've got all these different, you know, streaming subscriptions, you know, so they could have hundreds and hundreds of shows to watch. But it almost can act like a little bit of a forcing mechanism, you know, to be like, okay, I have this option or I have that option. And I'm going to watch something on one of these tonight. And those are my only options. And so we were surprised. That was a pretty common answer among
I
respondents.
have a third option, and that's don't have any subscriptions.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with summer coming, you might be like, you know what? I just don't think I'm going to be watching that much TV, you know?
Especially in the streaming realm, because there are a plenty of free channels now, streaming services that offer really good stuff. It used to be 3, even 4 years ago, right before the pandemic, the free streaming services were really, really old TV shows or movies you could only get from the 70s and 80s. But now they've got a lot of free ones that offer stuff within the last year. You do have to sit through ads, so we've gotten a little spoiled. But for those of us who remember watching regular television and they actually had ads all the time, it's actually not that bad. And what I've discovered is the advertising spots are not as long as regular television advertising is.
Yeah, and I think it's shown how the streaming economy has changed in the last few years. If you remember, Netflix famously said for years and years, we will never have commercials. We will never have commercials. We will never have commercials. And now, lo and behold, they've got millions of subscribers on this ad-supported tier, and the ad-supported tier becoming an increasingly popular solution because people are like, yeah, you know, I'd rather pay $7 a month than $20 a month. And I don't mind watching, like you said, it's only like often 30 seconds or 60 seconds of ads. It's really not bad. You know, almost got, it's like, oh, I haven't watched commercials in years. And, you know, it's kind of fun to watch some of these commercials and just see what people are doing now, which is interesting. Another trend that we see, Heather, is, you know, people want more live options. And so we see some streamers offering upsells for live options. The most recent example, you know, when we did this survey, we published it at the beginning of the month, at the beginning of April, and it was right after March Madness. And so one example is people really wanted to watch March Madness, and they particularly wanted to watch the women's tournament, right? This sort of Caitlin Clark effect and just all the excitement about the women's tournament in particular, the women's tournament, you know, being more popular than the men's tournament this year. And so a lot of people wanted these RSNs, regional sports networks. They wanted a way to watch the games live through a streaming service. You know, a lot of people don't have cable. They cut the cord a while ago, you know, and they just have their nine streaming subscriptions instead, you know, but they couldn't watch anything live, right? And so they were like, oh, you know, I want that. And so we're starting to see that as well. You know, you've got Hulu plus live TV, you've got YouTube TV, you know. So it's interesting how we're sort of seeing this diversification in streaming, based on what people want to watch. And I think we're also seeing that at the end of the day, a lot of people still want to watch stuff live, particularly with sports, and they're willing to pay a premium in order to do that.
Any last minute tips for the listeners how they can cut a lot of their costs in this subscription creep?
Yeah, I think the monitoring the cost of these different subscriptions is an important piece of the puzzle. Particularly with e-commerce and with retail being such a popular option for people, I would encourage being diligent about that. You know, there is a lot of temptation, particularly with all of these sales holidays that are starting to crop up. We had Prime Day, and now it's, you know, almost we're almost creating holidays. It's kind of weird. We're creating all these sales holidays where it's like you're going to get such a deal, and if you're a member, you're going to get an even better deal. And it's like, well, were you even thinking about shopping in the first place, right? And so that's, I think that's something tricky for people to watch out for, where it's like, oh, if I'm a member, I'm going to get better deals on these different things. And the question that I would pose as a finance editor is like, were you really looking for that stuff in the first place? You know, and so that just don't fall into that marketing trap that often comes up, particularly with those e-commerce services. And then also take a good look at, you know, some of the habits that you potentially picked up during the pandemic and during lockdowns. You know, for me, that was definitely DoorDash and getting used to dinner being delivered. You know, you get home and it's 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night, and it's like, oh, you know, there's not much in the fridge. Ugh, let's just get dinner delivered. You know, oh, it's okay. It's the second or third time this week, whatever. And I have to just tell myself, you know, I'm a big boy. I can get in my car and go and pick it up. It's not a big deal. I did this for years and years before 2020. It's not a big deal. You know, and so just looking for those ways to trim and to cut. And it's like with almost everything else in personal finance, like a big piece of it is just awareness. You know, like if you love Netflix, there's shows that you love on Netflix. Go get that high definition membership and go, you know, drink it up. Go really, really enjoy it. Just be aware of how that fits in your budget and how to make it all work. I think it's when people stick their fingers in their ears and they just pretend that it's all fine, and they, you know, they have no idea that they're even paying for things that they're not using anymore. That's the stuff that we want to break up and we want to get rid of. That way you can save some money and keep it in your budget.
And you'll actually feel better about taking care of that subscription creep than trying to cut out one cup of coffee from Starbucks every week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I feel a little attacked there. Got my cup of Starbucks right here. But I had, it was in my budget. It was in my budget, so
Very good.
it's
Okay. Thank you so much, Nick Wolny. You are the managing editor of CNET, and you've helped us just get some awareness about how much we're spending on subscriptions and where that creep is coming from.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's HKELLY at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.